Good morning. Court Radio is now in session.
Welcome to Court Radio.
Call 1-800-359-1479.
And the lines are alight.
When you've got legal questions.
Do I have any legal recourse?
What are my rights in this situation?
Is that valid?
And I'm just wondering, what is the statute of limitations?
We've got the answer.
You can whip your pictures out in court and say, liar, liar, pants on fire.
Right. This is Court Radio.
Let me go get the popcorn. This sounds like fun.
And now, here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right.
Dean Weitzman, and you're listening to Court Radio. We're on 100.3 WRMB, and I'm joined in the studio with my co-host, David Rappaport.
Good morning. How are you, Dino?
I'm doing well, David.
Doing well?
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a beautiful day out today, I believe, and everybody should be able to get around Philadelphia with ease, we hope. Hit some major traffic yesterday. Coming down 76, there was a bad accident, and everything was at a standstill for a long time. But let's say that the weather today is not going to be a factor. It's sunny, and for this time of the year, I'd say pretty warm. What about you, Dave?
Yeah, it's supposed to be actually not pretty warm, but 45, if you call that pretty warm.
Yeah, well,
but tomorrow's going to be...
It's going to drop.
Yeah, tonight's in the 20s. Tomorrow's going to be pretty cold.
Absolutely.
There's an Arctic front coming in, which, you know, several years from now might not mean anything with global warming, but...
Yeah, true that. But tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day.
We celebrate
the life and times of Martin Luther King, which is why we started out with our piece in the beginning. This is Court Radio. We're about the laws. We're about changing laws, and we're about people's rights to live a full and happy life. And in that regard, President Obama has signed into order, into law, several executive orders on gun control. He's finally done what so many presidents and politicians have been talking about doing for years. He told the NRA, go pound sand. Our children's lives come first. And he's enacted a number of laws. Folks, if you're listening to David and I, this is Court Radio, where we tackle the legal issues of today and answer your legal questions one at a time. You can reach us at 215-263-1003, 215-263-1003. So the executive order on gun legislation, and nobody thought this would happen. We have orders, 23 orders in all, and some of them will require congressional approval. But others will not.
I've looked through all these briefly. Most of them look like they're not that big of a deal. Most of them look like you'd be hard-pressed to give a good argument as to why that shouldn't be in law. Like, for example, I just had one and I can't find it. Something about, provide incentives for schools to hire school resource officers. I guess that's something related, not police officers, develop model emergency response plans for schools, houses of worship, and institutions of higher education. How could you possibly say that that's something, you know, that's infringing on the Second Amendment right?
There's also some regulations in here to make sure that those with mental health issues don't get guns.
Yeah, doctors asking about whether you have a gun in your home.
We started this dialogue last week. The question is, folks, you know, are you in favor of unfettered rights to acquire guns and unlimited ammunition and assault weapons? Most of our listeners are not. I mean, they're like, you know, enough's enough.
Well, you know what's interesting to me? I heard this yesterday, and I found it so interesting that the most people who are in favor of guns, and what I mean by that is the Second Amendment is the gospel, and you can't change it at all, and there should be no gun control. They're arguing the sanctity of the Constitution, right? But there's no arguments. You don't hear any argument from these people about the government with privacy, like Facebook and emails and all that. You know, the government has taken over through the both administrations, I have to admit, Bush administration and even Obama. You know, your emails aren't private. Your Googling search, they can check and see where they know everything about what you're looking at and what you're doing. Does anyone really care about that? I think these people would, at the very least. Right, the Constitution, First Amendment, and right to privacy, and all this kind of stuff, but nobody makes a sound about that.
Yeah,
guns though, guns. You got Second Amendment, don't touch that. But you could trample all over the First Amendment, you know, and the Fourth Amendment, and everything else. It makes no sense to me.
Well, I guess these folks, they're figuring if you take all my other amendments, at least I have my gun.
Well, that's what right, and then, but then the argument fails because. What are you protecting with your gun?
Yeah.
You're not protecting anything. It's all gone.
Yeah, what are those folks called? The preppers, you know?
The survivalists?
Yeah,
you know, well, look, if you really think, I don't care how much you are hoarding in ammunition and weaponry, if you think you can overtake the government.
A drone?
Yeah, a drone will just come in and plop, and you're done.
215-263-1003. We're talking about gun control today. We're talking about the Second Amendment. Where does the question is, where does the Second Amendment come from that you have to use it, you have to view it in context of where we were as a nation at that time?
Well, that's the point I'm kind of making. In that context, the government was infringing upon or there's a danger of the government infringing upon the basic rights of humans. So
of the citizens.
Of citizens. So we had the right to bear arms, to form a militia, to, you know, hopefully prevent that from happening. But now it's the opposite. Rights are being taken away, and all they care about is just keeping the gun. Like, they think the people who are in favor.
Actually, you know, what it all comes down to, and it all comes down to money. The gun manufacturing lobby is huge.
Yes.
And they're making money on every bullet they manufacture, and they want to keep making money. That's really what it comes down to. And then they get some folks who, you know, need a shave and, you know, probably are a little loopy.
Need a shave.
The men and the women, you know, the gun hoarders, they all need a shave. A good shave, you know, a good haircut, and they might start to see things logically. Like, children are dying because we have a free-for-all when it comes to guns. It's the first place, anytime there's an argument, the first thing you do, you reach for your gun. You know, and everybody's got one.
Well, if you have that mentality, I would think you're in danger of that. You have all these guns in your house, right? Anyone comes around your house, you're pulling your gun out.
You know, whatever. 215-26, don't get me started. 215-263-1003. We're talking about gun control and the Second Amendment, but you could talk about whatever is aggravating you or whatever legal issue you have coming up this week. Have you slipped and fell? Have you had an auto accident? These are the areas that my Philly lawyer focuses on. Medical malpractice, birth injuries. You know, I hate to call it medical malpractice because it's really
people don't
a medical mistake.
Or medical negligence, right?
Yeah, the doctor or the nurse made a mistake.
Right.
I mean, and that mistake caused an injury.
Right.
I mean, there's no animosity. But you know what? When you have a mistake, it's your job to fix it. You can't always fix your mistake in a health sense. Sometimes there's consequences to your mistake, David, and the sufferer of those consequences is the poor innocent victim.
Yeah. Well, it's that basic argument. You know, it all goes back to insurance with me. Insurance companies are there to protect. Let's put it in the context you're talking. Doctor has to get insurance in case what? The doctor makes a mistake, and then the insurance will pay. But what's the first thing that happens? The doctor makes a mistake, and the insurance company then fights for all the way to trial and beyond. And it doesn't seem right. Like, the whole purpose of the insurance is to cover the mistake.
Exactly.
So why don't, you know, in most cases they know that there was a mistake. Why not just cover it instead of fighting?
Precisely.
It makes no sense to me. And, you know, again, that's another thing. Two things now don't make sense to me this morning. And I'm sure there's going to be many more before you're done talking.
What doesn't make sense is my friend Tom Klein took that five-year-old child's case. You know, they called me. I spoke to them.
They did?
Well, yeah. There was friends of the family called to inquire on their behalf.
Why wouldn't you take the case?
What's the case?
The school admitted that they breached their safety. This woman, what do you mean, what's the case? This woman walked into the school, gave a fake name, no one stopped, and then they let her go to the classroom and take the kid right out.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about you. I remember when I was in high school, no one could just walk in and take me out of the class. They would have to, you know, they call on the thing, David Rappaport, please come to the, you know, and then I have to go and see who it is. They would have to see if it's on my, you know, every student has a card with their parents' names on it or the person who picks them up, especially in elementary school. You check the card, see if it's the same person, ask for ID. You know, I mean, I don't know. All I know is I saw the interview where the school board came out and said it was a breach of our protocol.
It was.
So there you go. There's a mistake, right?
Right. There's a mistake. But you know what? The school district has
immunity.
Yes.
Well, immunity for that?
Well, under state law, yes, for sure. It's not one of the seven enumerated exceptions to the Governmental Immunities Act.
Something tells me Tom Klein's going to get a nice
settlement. Well, the only way to get around that would be to go federal and say that it's a violation of your civil rights, and that, you know, that's a possibility. It ends up depending on a lot of factual things. Clearly. It's something to explore, but it is not by any means a slam dunk.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah.
No slam dunks.
No.
When you're going after
even though they admitted a mistake.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, there, you know, you really have to show that this is an ongoing callous disregard for the safety of the children. 215-263-1003. Let's talk to Paul from Langhorne, who's got a comment on gun control. Good morning, Paul, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning. We talk about all the time that children and are the ones that are the victims of all this, and they're not the only victims as well, and not to demean or to make that small. I feel as though gun laws should be inclusive for the assault weapons, large magazines, et cetera. And you talked, I was listening, about all the money that's being lost. And I feel as though if people who want to purchase a gun, in order to purchase a gun and get a weapon for protection or for hunting or what have you, should be required to take gun safety classes.
Absolutely.
Have teachers or, you know, qualified people to teach this.
Yep.
Have them paid. There's your money, some of your money that's being lost, you know, whether it's every bullet or what have you, every gun that you're losing money on. If you're required to have those classes, and also that would give you your license to carry.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the statistics are, but I think there's a fairly high percentage of gun deaths have to do with just mistake, like, you know, someone cleaning his gun or accidentally discharging the gun, and those are people who just are ignorant to gun safety.
Yeah, I mean, look,
at the very least,
Paul, the good thing is that we're having the conversation, and your idea is not a bad one, that some portion of the profits from the gun manufacturers should go back into the system to help pay for the victims of gun violence. That's something that maybe we can pass up the chain to the president. Thanks for calling Court Radio, Paul, and have a great Sunday.
Let me call him.
You as well. Thank you.
All right. 215-263-1003. Paul says that, you know, some of the money from the profits of gun manufacturers should go back into the system, and that's not necessarily a bad idea. It can help pay for gun safety courses. It could help pay for some of the damages caused by accidental gun discharges, as David mentioned. It could pay for the school to teach people about gun safety.
I was talking in context of, as he said, mandatory. You buy a gun, you have to take a mandatory course of gun safety to learn how to use it, how not to use it.
Yeah, I'm not in favor of that, but that's not really addressing the people who have died by assault weapons
in the
last couple of years, the big, you know, groups of individuals, Colorado, Arizona, Connecticut. These folks are loony. The people who have the guns are sick. They should be in a mental institution where we put them away and they don't come back out again to harm other people, period. And that really, gun safety's got nothing to do with that.
I agree.
Getting guns out of the hands of lunatics is where it's at. You know, everybody wants to have their gun. And if you're a normal law-abiding citizen, a hunter, you have it for safety, fine. But nobody should disagree that lunatics shouldn't have a gun.
Right.
Right? I mean, come on.
And no one should really, quite frankly, disagree that assault weapons should be available really to anyone. Like, there's no reason for them other than to kill another person.
Right.
And if you're saying you need it for safety, there's plenty of other types of guns that you can have for safety in all those times that you might have to use it.
But I mean, at a minimum, if we forced the folks who are seeking to get guns, and especially assault weapons,
right,
and especially large magazine weapons, if we force them into a psychiatrist's office for an evaluation, and then the psychiatrist gives them, you know, the green light, yes, you're normal, go get yourself your assault weapon, which when one would argue just wanting it, might be a problem.
It's a trigger. Pun intended.
I don't know. I mean, you know,
I don't know if that'll never happen.
Oh,
I don't think it's
the Dean Weitzman idea.
I think it's more
you get a haircut, a shave, and a psychiatric evaluation.
No, it's more like you have to be an extensive background check, a waiting period. How about high taxation on and inability to have to get them easily, or like all the bullets and things like that. And, you know, things that delay and make it sure that, you know, if you really want it, you're going to go out of your way to get it. And you know, that you're not a wacko.
215-263-1003. We're here at Court Radio, and I'm Dean Weitzman with David Rappaport, where we're answering questions about gun control, but also any legal issues that you have this week that you need to talk about. Most definitely, we'll touch upon those issues that are important to you at 215-263-1003. And by the way, if you are listening to Court Radio and you've got questions during the week, you can always find us at courtradio.com or myphillylawyer.com. You got questions, we got answers. And if you really have to, you can always check out rmbphilly.com. It's a website that is full of information from the radio station where you can sort of click your way to really the reason you're there, Court Radio or My Philly Lawyer. Okay, but then you'd see photos of Kyle in his pajamas coming down for Christmas Day. No, Dean. All right, so anyway, David, we're talking about gun control and psychiatric evaluations. What else is going on in town?
Well, in town, we lost a lifelong city leader, Happy Fernandez.
Yeah, you know, she was always an amazing woman who really was selfless in so many ways.
Did a lot.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what Happy's done.
Well, first of all, you know, I didn't know some of these things. I didn't realize that she was the first woman to seek a major party nomination for mayor. That was in 99. So the first woman to seek, you know, obviously she didn't become the mayor.
Right.
She was a president in the Moore College of Art. She was the only Democrat to, let's see, God, she did.
You know,
she did a lot.
And her name. Oh. I mean, you know, who named their kids Happy? And you really had a high, you have a high bar to meet at that point.
Here's the key. Lifelong
nobody
advocate.
Would ever name you Happy.
No, no. Maybe.
Your life may have been different if you had been named Happy.
I think everyone's would be.
Yeah, you have to kind of, you know.
Well, look at the, you know, seven dwarves. I mean, if you're named Grumpy.
There you go.
Then, you know. But here, she was a lifelong advocate for public schools. She founded and led the Parents Union for Public Schools and the Children's Coalition of Greater Philadelphia. So there, right there is are two legacies that will hopefully never extinguish. And she did a lot more than that, but that those are two things that stick out. And of course, you know, being on city council and doing all that kind of stuff. A lifelong servant.
Yeah, she was.
Of people.
May she rest in peace. Happy Fernandez passed this week. 215-263-1003. Let's talk to Ted, who's talking about gun control and cops in schools. Hey, Ted, welcome to Court Radio.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
We're doing wonderful. What's going on?
I'm working. I don't have a lot of time, but I was listening to the show this morning, and I heard you guys say something about school resource officers.
Yeah.
Being put in the school, and in case you didn't know, school resource officers are police officers.
Okay.
They just call them that when they work at the school.
Gotcha.
And you know what? I think that what we were talking about in respect to the police in schools is that maybe that should be paid for by a taxation on assault weapons. And instead of us folks who don't even own guns, well, instead of us footing the bill for the police officers, if you want to have your big magazine guns, then you're going to pay for having police officers in schools to protect our kids.
You know,
what do you think about that, Ted?
That's not a bad idea. Well, like Obama said the other day, the grants, you could do the grants as well, but it still come out of tax dollars no matter what.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not a big proponent of this.
The bottom line is going to come from some sort of source of income, and a taxation is a that's a good way as far as, you know, selling guns and the revenue off of gun sales. That would be a good idea.
Yeah,
I'm not a proponent of this because I don't think.
But I just, you know, in case you guys didn't know, I just want to let you know who school resource officers were, because a lot of people don't know.
Right.
It's a little bigger down south, you know, that's what they call them, but up here and up in the north. It's moving slowly, but down south they have cops in all the schools down south.
All right. I just don't think it works. Yeah.
I don't think it does anything. A cop can't prevent that kind of tragedy from happening. It happened in Columbine, and there was a cop in the school.
Was there?
Yes.
Well,
it's not a fix for the problem at all.
It makes people feel good.
I agree. And it could protect
it
children,
could.
But
it could.
It's not a fix for the issue.
It isn't. Psychiatrists are in a haircut. But besides that, I think that my point is, whether you have them or don't, whether you like them or don't like them,
right,
I don't want to pay for them.
I understand that.
You know, if you're buying guns, you got, you know, 17 assault weapons and 9,000 rounds of ammunition, you pay for the cop in the school.
Well,
because it's people like you who are making you know, if we didn't have assault weapons, if they were banned, outlawed, if all we had was, you know, bows and arrows and you know, we wouldn't need cops in schools. So if you're going to have, you know, these...
Yeah, but the premise is you're starting with the premise that cops in schools address the problem. And if I were an advocate of guns and not gun control, I would say, why should I pay for something that isn't even addressing the problem that you're saying exists?
Yeah.
So that's the whole issue.
Well,
it doesn't.
No, what you mean to say, David, is... No, what you mean to say is it's not a good way to address the problem.
Okay.
Because you started your argument by saying that it might have
a certain circumstance. Yeah. It could, yeah.
Right.
If the cop happens to be standing there right when someone walks in with the gun wielding it, and
it may lessen it. Instead of them moving around from classroom to classroom to classroom,
right.
It may keep them in one location.
Okay.
So, there's some benefit there, but you're saying it's not a great benefit, and I don't disagree with that.
Okay.
I don't disagree with that. 215-263-1003. All right. There you go.
Give us an hour, we could solve the whole issue.
Yeah.
But in a half hour, we can't do it.
That's the funny thing. There's answers here. It's not that difficult.
It is.
You know, and then you let these politicians. I mean, I know I get up on the soapbox every Sunday probably, but it seems so crazy to me. You have these politicians who they just can't seem to come up with intelligent and proper solutions.
Money. You said money, and if that isn't about money, I don't know what is. One side is controlled. Both sides are controlled by their constituents, and they get money from them. And even their personal beliefs might not even play into it because they get money, money, money. And how much money do you think the NRA gives to Republicans?
Right. See, I don't get any money from these cats, and I don't play in that sandbox. So, I can actually come up with a good idea and say, let's do this.
Right.
So the answer is, we got to get back to talking about politicians and limiting terms and not letting them take money and not letting businesses,
contribute.
Yeah. Right. What was that? The
Citizens United.
Yeah, thank you, David. Citizens United. It's the hallmark case of the Supreme Court that allowed big business to dump billions of dollars. That's how, the Koch brothers, those wealthy guys who make Dixie cups. That's how they get to dump billions of dollars into particular races, and they win. You know, they might not be able to buy themselves a presidential election because, a la Obama, we showed them that the little guy can have a word. But you better believe they win local elections.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, I mean, you start putting. And they love it because now people aren't focused on them anymore, but they're dumping money. They haven't stopped.
No.
Their agenda works. All right, let's talk to Kennedy from Upland, PA on gun control. Hey, Kennedy, welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, how are you this morning?
We're doing well, thanks. What's your comment?
Basically, it boils down to this. Hot dogs make people fat, okay? People buy hot dogs. That's their responsibility. If they want to get fat, they eat the hot dogs. Okay, guns can only kill somebody if somebody is handling it improperly. That's it. It's point in case. A gun that's sitting on a shelf never killed anyone, and I don't care whether it's an assault weapon or whether it's just a pistol.
What's the purpose of a gun sitting on a shelf, though? A gun isn't made to sit on a shelf. It's made to shoot a bullet, isn't it? I mean,
they are, and they can be used in recreational activities. They can be used for hunting, okay? But it's the people. You have to make sure.
So, Kennedy, you'd agree with me then that we shouldn't allow assault weapons to be purchased and or used by lunatics.
By lunatics, correct.
Okay. So we have to figure out who the lunatic is and make sure they don't have a gun.
You do have to make sure that the people that have the guns are not
lunatics.
But what's the purpose of an assault weapon, though? A non-lunatic purpose for assault.
Well, listen.
If
Dean Weitzman owned an assault weapon,
yes,
nobody's going to get harmed.
But
okay?
Why even own it?
Forget that for a minute. If I owned it, nobody would get harmed because I'm not going to kill anybody, and either would Kennedy. Okay, so it can be owned by people who, are just going to put it there on the shelf and say, okay, I feel better because of it. You say, well, why do you have it? I feel better. It's sitting on my shelf. But I'm not a lunatic.
For when I become a lunatic.
Right. All right, folks, we're going to be right back after these breaks.
The crash was horrible. You almost didn't make it, and now you're just hoping to be able to walk again. I'm Dean Weitzman of My Philly Lawyer. If you've been in a car, truck, or motorcycle accident, call us at 215-227-2727. For more than 30 years, we've battled for people just like you by making insurance companies pay. Call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. We fight for people who can't for themselves. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weissman.
Okay, folks, you're listening to Court Radio. Thanks for listening to us. This is 100.3 WRMB Philly. RMBPhilly.com is where we're at. You can also check us out at courtradio.com and myphillylawyer.com, because ultimately that's where we are. If you need to reach us during the week, you got legal issues, you've been involved in an accident, you've been injured, you know somebody who's been injured, you can always find Dean Weitzman at 215-227-2727. Yeah. Haven't said that number in a little while, David, and it was crying to come out.
No one's using it.
215-227-2727. So, we're talking about gun control. In my mind, civil rights. You know, my right to be safe and secure and not have to live in fear of a lunatic with an assault weapon. If you've got a comment on gun control, and I think for sure, would you agree with me, David, that we finally have the momentum? We're going to see some gun control coming out of the Connecticut killings?
Yes, and now I've had a chance to look through these 23 executive orders a little more, and I'm baffled that this is a pimple on the face of the issue. So, and the reason I'm baffled is there is so much controversy over this. The NRA went crazy when Obama administration came out with these. They went crazy. They started calling him, saying he was crazy. They want to overthrow the government. They were making these really drastic statements. I'm reading these. I don't get it. There's nothing here that really infringes upon anyone's right to own a gun.
Here's what it does.
It
opens a conversation they don't want to have. They don't even want to have the conversation.
That's exactly right. Because there's nothing on here that infringes upon anyone's right to actually walk in and buy a gun.
They're afraid. Any kind of gun. They're afraid of the slippery slope. Let's talk to Malcolm, who's got a comment on gun control. Good morning, Malcolm, and welcome to Court Radio.
The funny thing is you kind of like addressed the two things I wanted to see. One was the Second Amendment, the politics of the NRA. The Second Amendment is there in the Constitution about the right to bear arms, meaning that if the government does rise up against you, you can bear arms. The history of that is that during the Revolution, the king said, can't have guns or you can't defend yourself against it. That's number one. The other thing was is that I wanted to address the issue of assault weapons. Okay, a gun by itself is an assault weapon. It's a legal, political, semantical term that people now throw in there, assault, to say
it's true.
This is what you can have and what you can't have. And I read the 23 things too. And basically, I agree with you. I don't know why anybody's upset. It's basically just against, the real issue people should be talking about is the mental health issue around someone who decides that the only thing they can do is shoot. And maybe that's just hardwired in our community. I mean, in our society, as far as like people are concerned.
Well, no, I think you're kind of saying it. There are people who shouldn't own, a rubber band and a paper clip. I mean, we know who those people are, and they need to be put away, and for their own safety and dignity, and for the safety of those around them. So we need to get back to talking about mental health and about safety. Okay,
and protecting society itself.
Yeah, you wouldn't right, exactly. You're not going to put a child, in a room with an open flame and just walk away, shut the door, because that child is going to harm themselves. Well, and if there's other people in there, they're going to harm them as well. And so, there are people in our society who are sick. That's all right. It's all right to say that. They're sick. They deserve to be in a hospital. We need to get back to the point where, we're not afraid to put people away in a hospital because they're a danger to themselves and others. And, the last thing you want to do is give them a gun with 1,000 rounds of ammunition. So, but you're right. The 23 things, these open a dialogue. These really shouldn't. Nobody should have an argument about these. These say we need to talk about these things. They don't really change a heck of a lot.
We need to disseminate information. You need to have access to public health records.
All right, Malcolm. We got to move on, but thanks for calling Court Radio, and thanks for being a listener, sir.
No problem.
All right, 215-263-1003. We're going to bring a special guest on in a minute, right after this little audio foray.
We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I just want to do God's will, and he's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
Who but the one and only Vincent Hughes should come on the show during this special weekend. Hello, Vincent, and welcome to Court Radio.
Being the dream. How are you, sir?
Doing well, thanks. I'm doing
very
well.
Good.
I know you would normally be saddled up here in the studio breaking it down for us, but you're not today because you're off dashing off somewhere. Where are you going, Vincent?
Well, we're kind of all over the place in terms of schedule. Just picked up the missus from the airport. We've got a stuff we've got to do here in Philadelphia today. We've got a speaking engagement at inaugural act for a lot of people are having around the country, Dean. Inaugural activities are in their own community because they may not be able to get to Washington. So we've got to go to Elizabeth, New Jersey this afternoon and then drive from there down to Washington for the inaugural activities tomorrow morning. I am an elector. I am part of the Electoral College, which is a whole other conversation that, you can get into at some point around who actually elects and votes for the presidency of the United States.
That's pretty cool, but let's just talk about that for a second. And then how does that make you feel to be one voice in history that actually elected Obama to a second term?
Well, it actually, it was, it was it felt pretty special.
Yeah, I would imagine.
When you know that on October 17th, everyone at noontime, just about everyone in the country was meeting in their own respective state capitals. And these are the electors. They're all selected by the president's team to come to their respective state capital and cast this vote. There were 20 of us who met in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, on the floor of the Capitol. And
that's it, just 20?
That's just well for Pennsylvania, it's 20 electoral college votes.
Wow. So you're just one. You're for the whole Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, you're just one of 20 people who get to raise their hand and say, let's give them another term.
Right. And so you have the official ballot, which, and then the ballots are placed. These are not done computerized. The ballots are placed in a wooden box, which
old
allegedly
school.
Is the same wooden box that's been used for the last couple hundred years.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
So,
that is wild.
Yeah, it kind of was a pretty special moment, and it put it all in a broader context. So the
fulfillment, like the culmination of that process is tomorrow.
Exactly. It's interesting. It's two steps. It's today and tomorrow. Today is at noontime is when the president will actually be sworn in a private ceremony.
Yeah, a Supreme Court justice. You know, there was that
three
episode.
Three times he's done it.
Yeah,
because it should be twice.
Right.
But.
Right.
that'll
be like a little one of those questions, you know, in the Kellogg's cereal box one day. What president got sworn in three times?
Right. Two presidencies.
Right. Well, actually, maybe four times because you're actually going to be getting sworn in again tomorrow publicly. So,
right.
So today is where by constitution the president has to be sworn in on the 20th of January. So there'll be a private ceremony where the president will be sworn in. But because it's the 20th of the Sunday, they're moving the public ceremony to Monday, which I think is something that they also have done over.
Yeah, so it will be four swearing ins for two terms.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Vince, one of the other reasons we have you on here, and we can circle back to the inauguration in a second, mm-hmm. but I really would be remiss if I didn't ask you on the eve of Martin Luther King's celebratory day what your thoughts are on MLK Day and his legacy.
Well, Dr. King was a transformational leader. He was not a transactional leadership. He didn't barter his way into power and responsibility and service. He spoke out and acted in a transformation. His whole idea was to try to transform the thought process and the thinking process of this nation by utilizing nonviolent mechanisms and nonviolent strategies to achieve change. And it's always a tougher task because you're really trying to get people not just to change their behavior, change the way they feel and process and think about any particular activity when you try to deal with transformational leadership. And it's harder, and it's more difficult. But it's setting messages in the tradition of Gandhi, and it's sending a message to all of us that, you know, we have this responsibility to be our best selves at all times for not just ourselves as individuals, but for the broader community. And so when you think about his life, his service, what he committed to, and you read some of the things that he wrote and listen to many of the speeches that he made and some of the interactions that he had in terms of his work for change, it hopefully will push all of us in a different path, in a different direction to try to make this broader society a much better place. It can't be left unsaid that President Obama is getting sworn in on the national celebration of Dr. King's birthday. I mean, there's so much irony in that. There's so much history to that. A people who, and it's interesting, Dean, you and the crew, we were on the radio 3, 4, 5, 6 months ago, talking about the whole issue of voter ID and the process of trying to deny people the vote. One of Dr. King's greatest accomplishments was the franchise, enforcing the opportunity with the Voting Rights Act to assure that no matter what color you were, that you had the right to vote. And here we were, not just a few months ago, fighting for that precious right. That precious right to vote. So
yeah, the question is whether I mean that's gonna that you know again we're getting sidetracked, but I have to at least say that that's gonna come back up again to haunt us at some point in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania's next presidential election or next election.
Absolutely, those you know that we have elections next year, locally elections for judge and district attorney and for several other row offices. But and the whole issue of voter participation, the right to vote, who can vote, who can't vote, making sure the process is fair for everybody, no matter what your circumstances, is something that we have to be vigilant upon every day, every week, every year, and especially every election cycle, because you see how far the bad guys will go in terms of trying to deny folks the right to participate in the election process. They'll go to any means, any length, to try to stop people from exercising the franchise. We saw that in this past election cycle.
Yeah.
We must always be vigilant on that.
The Koch brothers and their ilk will stop at nothing to make sure that they can tilt the landscape in their favor, if possible.
Exactly.
But, you know, it was very heartwarming, and it was affirming that this election was not stolen. And, you know, the little people, the little contributions prevailed.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow you see it through to the end. And I applaud you for that. What are you going to be doing tomorrow? See?
Trying to find an hour or two of sleep somewhere along the process. We will be on the mall. In front of the Capitol, we will bear witness. All of the electors, I believe from across the country, will all be sitting together in one section. I don't remember exactly which section that is, but fortunately, it's going to be a little bit close up, which we like that. Okay, and we'll be just enjoying a very special ceremony. It is. What can I say? It won't be as cold as it was 4 years ago.
It's going to be cold, though. You better pack your long johns, Vincent.
Believe me, they're packed.
Okay.
They're packed. I got them on already. Okay. It won't fit.
Okay.
But I can tell you, 4 years ago, there was nothing like that kind of frigidity, but the moment made it very special. It's not supposed to be as cold as it was 4 years ago. But we're going to enjoy the ceremony. We're going to connect with everybody. We'll network with folks all across the country. Of course, Cheryl has a couple of particular balls she wants to go through, and she's bought a couple of particular very fancy dresses that she wants to wear. We'll be doing some of that. But, you know, Tuesday morning, we're right back at it. You know, we have issues we got to deal with in Harrisburg as the state legislature begins its next session. We've got to put people back to work, which is the number one issue across the country we got to deal with. You know, the issue about guns in Pennsylvania, we've got to deal with the issue of funding for public education, which, you know, it's really a shame what we're all going through in terms of this state, in terms of how the governor has cut out over the last 2 years about $900 million in funding for public education. And poor school districts are really being negatively impacted by this. And so we've got to, you know, we'll have Monday will be a day of enjoyment and festivities. But Tuesday, it's all about the business of getting back to work.
All right, Vincent Hughes, my
Wheels
senator.
Never stop.
You know, Vincent is now my senator, David?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was always your senator.
Always, yeah, I thought he always was.
No. I am in his district now.
Oh, so now, now you can call him every 5 seconds.
I do, all the time.
His residency never stopped him from calling.
All right, Vincent Hughes, be well, and you and
Thanks,
Cheryl, sir. Have a great time
Thank
in Washington.
Take care now.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. We had a little call from Senator Vince
Hughes. The
wheels
never stop.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to keep going, you know, right the day after the inauguration, back to work. Got
to
do it.
And you and I will have to talk. Absolutely. We'll have to keep the politicians' butts to the fire.
Absolutely.
Next week. All right. Let's talk to Andrew from Mount Airy, who has a question about a judgment. Good morning, Andrew. Welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
What's your question, Andrew?
Basically, I had a judgment. I had to go to court, and I never went to court. And now I'm wondering, how can I get this cleared off my record?
Well, yeah.
By paying.
Yeah, by paying the judgment would be one way.
That would be one way, yeah.
Negotiating a payment plan or some small payment. How old is the judgment?
About a year.
Okay, and how much is it for?
$5,000.
Okay. So the judgment is going to remain on your record, you know, for unless the judgment holder has to renew the judgment every 5 years. So for the next 4 years, they don't have to do anything. It's there. It can, you know, obviously it's going to affect your credit rating, your ability to get a mortgage and all that, buy a car. And so if you really want to deal with it, you probably should call the judgment holder and negotiate some sort of payment on that judgment. At which point the judgment can be marked satisfied, or it can be marked in some fashion like you are in the midst of paying it.
Yeah, nobody wants the judgment holder, the piece of paper that they have isn't doing them any good. So, and they're looking at holding a piece of paper for God knows how long. So they would probably welcome a call from you, even if it's not all of the judgment. Some payment might be enough to satisfy them.
Unfortunately, even if the judgment were invalid, if you said to me, "Hey, but Dean, they shouldn't have gotten a judgment."
Right,
if
right.
I had shown up, they wouldn't. Unfortunately, after a year, those arguments are not really going to get you very far, and
okay.
So you're going to have to assume the judgment's legit and deal with it at this point. And that's our best advice for you this morning, Vincent. And good luck with that. And you can always give us a call back and let us know how things worked out, okay?
Okay.
All right. Be well. How about, I called him Vincent, but that's not, he wasn't Vincent, but this is Vincent.
Uh-huh.
Hello, Vincent from
Hello.
Northeast. Yes, yes, I got you, Vince. How are you?
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you very much. My name is Vincent. I'm calling from Northeast Philadelphia.
Yes.
And I'm calling about a workers' comp case that I have.
Uh-huh.
And it's been taking such a long time. And
how long, Vince? Vince, how long? How long's a long time?
Oh, about 5 years.
Okay, so you've been out, haven't worked a day in 5 years, correct?
No, but I receive disability now, which my doctor filled out the papers, and I was able to receive that.
Social Security disability?
Yes.
Okay. And so are you also receiving some portion of workers' compensation benefits?
No, none at all.
None at all. Okay. No. So what's your workers' comp question then?
Well, my question is, my case has been settled and I signed, but I haven't received my money yet, my settlement yet. I signed papers.
How long ago?
Sorry,
David.
That's all right. Same question.
It's been about December.
See, it's always the wife.
It's always the wife. Yeah. Wife is giving them the information.
All right, December. So here we are in, January. That's not really a long time,
no,
Vincent.
It hasn't even been 30 days. Has
it hasn't been 30 days.
It's been 30 days, okay.
It's normally take after I sign all the papers, and I believe that my lawyer's already received a check, and I signed it. So what, it takes 60 days?
Well, there may be issues.
Yeah,
there may be
issues
that the lawyer has to deal with, paying off part of the money goes for doctor's bills or things that need to be addressed.
Yeah,
you should ask your attorney, though.
And there may be liens. There may be liens. There may be other issues. So the attorney has to make sure that the people who need to get paid from that money are paid. Do you have a child support liens, Vince?
I made some arrangements because he did mention to me about child support because they are.
The plot thickens.
Child support out of my disability check.
Uh-huh.
See,
yeah, but
do you,
So if I'm
give me some props
banned,
for that.
Is he your client, Dean?
Yeah. No.
Vince, are you the attorney, Dean?
Vince is not
Vince,
my
is
client.
Dean your attorney?
No, no. But what happens, Vince, is that sometimes, and I've been in a situation where a client's money comes in, but the district attorney's office sends me something called a non-disbursement order, and I'm not allowed under law to give the client or anybody else any of that money until the court figures out whether the kids have to get a piece of that. And so those are some of the issues that can pop up.
The real issue is why don't you just, and maybe you have and the lawyer hasn't gotten back to you, but call the lawyer and ask him why the money's being held up. I mean, I don't understand why lawyers, if Dean is correct, then your lawyer should have told you all this.
Right, but I already signed the check.
I understand, but the lawyer should have told you why the money's being held up.
When you sign that check, you're putting the money into your lawyer's escrow account, where right. it sits until he's able to disperse it to himself, perhaps, to you. He gets a piece of it for his attorney's fees. You get the vast majority of it. And sometimes third parties, like, you know, children on child support, get a piece of it. And so, the open communication is the important thing, Vince. And, you know, if you got questions, these seem like legit questions to David and I.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you need to give your lawyer a call and ask those questions first thing tomorrow morning, and don't stop till you get an answer. Vincent, thanks for calling Court Radio, and have a great Sunday, you and the missus. 215-227-2727 as we go off the air shortly. If you've got legal questions, we got answers all week long, 7 days a week, actually. There's somebody there answering the phones 24/7, 7 days a week. You just give us a call at 215-227-2727 or go to myphillylawyer.com, where so much good information is available to you even in the middle of the night when you're tossing and turning and you can't sleep.
Can watch videos of Dean.
All right, folks, we're off to Philly Speaks with E. Stephen Collins coming up after these important announcements. Sponsors of Court Radio, listen carefully and have a great Sunday. We'll see you next week, same time, same place.
Bye-bye.
Somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right.
You fell hard and your body's broken. You haven't worked in months, your medical bills are piling up, and there's no one to take care of your kids. I'm Dean Weitzman of My Philly Lawyer. Call us at 215-227-2727. For more than 30 years, we've battled for people just like you by making insurance companies pay. Call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. We fight for people who can't fight for themselves. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.